We've been looking at Acts chapter 19, verses 11 through 12. And in particular, we have been looking at these face cloths and work aprons that were used by the Holy Spirit to heal the sick and, of course, set free those who were oppressed by demonic powers. In Acts 19:11, we read, God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and evil spirits left them. Now, we have been noticing three characteristics about these work aprons and these face cloths. And that is, first of all, we looked at the fact that they had no inherent religious glory or beauty, things that we certainly would look for. Second of all, they had no impediment to God's supernatural work. And then last of all, we'll look at no inherent spiritual power. What supernatural power did sweat cloths and sweat aprons have to combat the power of Satan in a city dominated by sorcery, witchcraft, and magical spells? The answer is pretty obvious, isn't it? None. Yet the sick were being healed, and those troubled by evil spirits were being delivered. The power of the miracles was not tied to the pieces of cloth or the fact that they had touched Paul's body. It was not that these sweat cloths were infused with Paul's sweat. It was that they were infused with the Spirit's power. God was choosing something that we would find repulsive to display his miracles of caring among a people bound by Satan's power. Let's tie that thought to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 27 through 29. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. You know, that's God's record in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Human instruments could not, of their own power, accomplish anything great for the kingdom of God. So God infused them with his power. It was not the instrument itself that mattered, but the one who was using the instrument. So it wasn't Elijah's staff that raised the Shunammite woman's son from the dead, but God working through that staff. It wasn't Moses' rod that parted the Red Sea during the Exodus, but God doing extraordinary miracles. It wasn't the tree branch that was thrown into the bitter waters of Marah that cured the water, but God doing extraordinary miracles. It wasn't the stone in David's sling that killed giant Goliath, but God doing extraordinary miracles. It wasn't the jawbone of a donkey in Samson's hand that defeated 1,000 enemies, but God doing extraordinary miracles. It wasn't a handful of flour and a little oil that met the widow of Zarephath's needs, but God doing extraordinary miracles. I think you're starting to get the idea. It wasn't the cloud the size of a man's hand that brought an abundance of rain, but God doing extraordinary miracles. It wasn't the fish in the river that paid Jesus and Peter's taxes, but God doing extraordinary miracles. So the next time you say to God, I'd like to do something important for your kingdom, but I'm just not a great instrument, remember this: it's not the instrument that counts so much as it is the one using the instrument. Join me again next time for more of Verse by Verse.